We're beginning this evening a series of studies in the letter of Paul to Philemon. If you'd like to turn with me to Philemon and chapter 1. I think we will be in this for a few weeks. We want to look at Paul's teaching in this letter, Philemon chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Thus reads God's word. And as I say, we will, over the next few weeks, be studying Paul's letter to Philemon. What I want to do this evening is to present an introduction to this letter. So I'm not actually going to be dealing with any of the passages. I want to give an overview of this letter first. And then from next week, we will begin to look at the text itself. And what I want to do is simply ask 2 questions by way of introduction. And in the answer to those 2 questions, I trust we will have an overview of this letter. The 2 questions are, what are the historical circumstances behind this letter? Or why was this letter written? Why did Paul write this letter? Now, you know, that's a very important question because, as I've said before, if we are to understand the text, we must know the intention of the writer. The intention of the writer governs the interpretation of the reader. So that first question, why did Paul write this letter? Very important. And then the second question, what is the theme of this letter? And that's very, very important as well, as you, I hope you'll see when we come to it. So the first question then, why did Paul write this letter? There's actually a very interesting and a very intriguing history behind this. And we sort of piece it together from the evidence in this letter. In other words, the history behind it anywhere else. We don't have it in Acts or in any of other letters that Paul wrote, but we piece it together by reading this letter. Now, usually, or generally speaking, all scholars are agreed on the history behind this letter. So it's not that I'm presenting to you my position, but then there are serious disagreements and other people have very different views. Generally speaking, evangelical preachers, teachers, lecturers, professors all agree on the historical situation behind Philemon. And it is a very interesting one. There was in the city of Colossae a man called Philemon. So if you can picture in your mind a city in Greece, in Turkey, modern day Turkey, in the southwestern corner of modern day Turkey, a city called Colossae. And in that city was a wealthy man called Philemon. Now, Philemon was a Christian, and he became a Christian through the ministry of Paul. And the guess that we make, and we are into guesswork here, but as I said, most people agree on this sort of guesswork. The guess that we make is that when Paul was in Ephesus, now Ephesus is a short distance from Colossae. It's not a huge distance. And it seems there was a lot of movement of people between Colossae and Ephesus. And Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus. So when Paul was in Ephesus, we're speculating that Philemon, being a wealthy man, probably a businessman, made a trip to Ephesus because Ephesus was a huge city. It's a little bit like somebody from Crawley going up to London, or somebody from Maidenhead going up to London. So you're in a decent-sized town, Maidenhead or Crawley or somewhere like that, somewhere in Hertfordshire, but London is the big city. And you make a trip to London. It's a bit like that. Philemon, it seems, made a trip to Ephesus. And there was Paul evangelizing Ephesus. And the two men meet. And Philemon becomes a Christian. And Philemon returns to his home city of Colossae. And a church meets in his house. We are told that in this passage that I've read. In verse 2, Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. So it seems that the city of Colossae then heard the gospel. We know of another believer from Colossae, a man called Epaphras. And we now know of Philemon. So there were these Christians in Colossae. There you see in verse 2, Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. So it seems that these men who had become Christians had gone back to Ephesus, to Colossae, and evangelized Colossae, and people had become Christians, and the church met in Philemon's house. Now, Philemon, being a wealthy man, had slaves. This is how wealthy people were in first century Roman Empire. They had slaves, and Philemon had a slave, a man called Onesimus. And Onesimus ran away. I'm told that this happened quite often. Slaves, of course, if they had the opportunity to run away, would run away. And Onesimus ran away, it seems, with his master's property, perhaps some money or some valuable property. And he made his way to Rome. Now, by this time, when Onesimus ran away and made his way to Rome, Paul was in Rome. Paul was in prison in Rome. And in the providences of God, you know how these things happen. And you think about what's happened and you think, what an absolutely incredible providence that these two people should meet. Well, in the providences of God, in this huge, busy, populated city of Rome, Onesimus and Paul meet. No idea how, but they meet. Perhaps Onesimus met one of Paul's friends, and this man said to Onesimus, I'm going to visit a friend of mine in prison, because Paul was in prison. Paul wasn't free to wander around the city of Rome. He was in prison. So perhaps somebody was visiting Paul in prison and took Onesimus along. So Onesimus meets Paul. Paul shares the gospel with Onesimus. Onesimus becomes a Christian. Now, once Onesimus becomes a Christian, like all Christians, his conscience begins to bother him because there is unfinished business. I don't know if you remember this. I remember reading this when I was in Kenya, but it's an incident that happened in Britain. And I can't remember all the details, but a man murdered his wife and buried her body. And then many years later, he became a Christian. And the first thing he did, as you can guess, he walked into a police station, admitted to that murder, and led the police to where he had buried her body. Because this is what Christians do. Our consciences trouble us. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and the Holy Spirit points out to us unfinished business. I had a man in my church in Kenya who had murdered somebody. Now, it was in self-defense. This man had attacked him, and he had murdered him. And then he became a Christian. And I remember a short time after he became a Christian, he came to see me and he says, I must sort this out. I've murdered somebody and my conscience won't give me rest. And we went to the police station. He made a statement, and it was so many years ago, and it was in a remote part of the country in self-defense. And the police inspector said, we're not going to take any action. And the man said, that's fine. That's fair enough. And that was it. His conscience was clear. So Onesimus had a conscience. He had run away from his master. So Onesimus says to Paul, I sort of envisage this conversation taking place in a Roman prison. Onesimus has become a Christian and is visiting Paul regularly and has been discipled by Paul. And one day he says to Paul, I have a conscience, some unfinished business. And Paul says, well, what is it? And Onesimus says, I'm a runaway slave. I ran away from my master and I ran away with property. Well, Paul says, well, we can sort this out. By the way, what's the name of your master? And Onesimus says, Philemon of Colossae. I imagine at that point, Paul's jaw hit the floor. He knew the master. You know, it's incredible providence when you think about it. I mean, the Roman Empire stretched from York in England all the way to the eastern parts of the Middle East. You know, this massive empire. And Onesimus could have been anywhere. He could have been a slave in York. He could have been a slave in Lyon. He could have been a slave in, I don't know, you know, anywhere, couldn't he? Could have been a slave in Baghdad or Alexandria. But this smallish town, not a huge city, a smallish town in Turkey, Colossae, and not a person whom Paul doesn't know, but a slave of a man whom Paul knows, Philemon. And I imagine Paul thinks, you're joking. And Onesimus, well, I'm not joking. My master is Philemon of Colossae. He's the man I've run away from. Why do you say I'm joking? And Paul says, I know him. I know him. We're brothers in the Lord. So Paul says, we've got to put this right. And so Paul picks up his pen and says, we'll write a letter. You take the letter back to your master. And you will be restored to your master. That is the history behind Philemon. And as I say, evangelical scholars generally agree with that. There's no deviation from that. The letter itself points to that as being the background to it. So that's the reason why Paul wrote, he is restoring a runaway slave to his master. Now, what is the theme of Philemon? What is the overlying theme? What is it that when we study Philemon, and we're going to study it in detail, what is the theme that is going to come up again and again and again? The theme is reconciliation. Reconciliation. This is the theme of Philemon. And as we go through this letter, I will bring this up again and again, because it's everywhere. And this is why it is such a beautiful letter, because it's such a beautiful theme. You know, when you're handling a beautiful theme like reconciliation, of course, the letter that the Holy Spirit moves Paul to write is going to be a lovely letter. And as you know, reconciliation is an important theme in the New Testament, well, in the Bible. And the New Testament takes it up, and the New Testament has it as one of the foundational doctrines. When we study the New Testament, there are certain doctrines that are absolutely foundational And without any one of these doctrines, the New Testament cannot function. You know, you have the deity of Jesus Christ, the humanity of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And then you have the salvation doctrines, justification, adoption, reconciliation. These are at the foundations of our faith. And our faith is built on these things. Reconciliation is a huge theme in the New Testament. Paul writes about reconciliation in Romans. The Apostle Peter writes about reconciliation in his first letter. He says, we at one time were strangers and aliens, but he says, we who were once far from God have been brought into the family of God. Paul writes about reconciliation in Colossians. Now, Philemon was in Colossae, and Onesimus came from Colossae. Isn't it interesting that in the letter to the Colossians, he writes about reconciliation? And perhaps the most famous passage in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reconciliation. And those verses that are famous, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's iniquities against them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the sake of Christ, we plead with you, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are servants of the reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All those verses, when we think about New Testament verses on reconciliation, those are the verses that come to mind, aren't they? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Be reconciled to God. And we are deacons or servants of reconciliation. He uses the word diakonos, deacons of reconciliation, servants of reconciliation. All of them from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, Philemon is about reconciliation. It's a huge theme in the Bible because it's a huge issue. It's a huge topic in the Christian life. If we don't understand reconciliation, we don't understand the Christian faith. Our entire understanding of the Christian faith and our practice of Christianity will be faulty if we do not understand and practice reconciliation. This letter was written to encourage a Christian to practice reconciliation. That's why it was written. It was written to Philemon, and Paul writes to Philemon, saying to Philemon, you've been estranged from your runaway slave. He was one of your slaves, and he has now run away from you. There is this estrangement. There is this separation, alienation between you. And Paul essentially writes to Philemon saying, Philemon, I want you to be reconciled to this man. I want you to be reconciled to him as you were before, the master and the slave, but more than that, I want you, he says, to be reconciled as a brother. Look at verse 16, which is probably the central verse in this letter. We'll read from verse 15. And he talks about the estrangement in verse 15. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you. This perhaps, he says, is why he was estranged from you, alienated from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant. Now Philemon probably continued to be a servant. Onesimus probably continued to be a servant in Philemon's house. But Paul says, your relationship has changed. No longer as a bond servant, but more than a bond servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now that's a huge statement. There is no statement like this in the New Testament. You know, it's possible you've never looked at Philemon at any great length. You probably thought one chapter. I don't know how many verses, not many verses, 30, 40 verses, I haven't counted, but not many verses. Actually, we can see how many verses, isn't it? It's in the English, it's 25 verses, okay? Tucked away somewhere at the back of the New Testament. Difficult to find. And after all, it's only one chapter, it's only 25 verses. What on earth is Philemon going to teach me? Surely I must read and study Romans, 16 chapters. 1 Corinthians, 16 chapters. Ephesians, 6 chapters. I mean, Philemon, 1 chapter, 25 verses. Do you know there are things in Philemon that are not found anywhere else in the New Testament? And essentially, the nature of reconciliation. What does reconciliation look like? How does reconciliation work? How does reconciliation come about? And what are the effects of reconciliation? How does reconciliation then work itself out in practice in future relationships? Philemon uniquely in the Bible addresses these issues. It's a hugely important book. And the theme of reconciliation is everywhere. It's there in by implication. And I will bring it out again and again and again. We will see reconciliation everywhere. And I'm not twisting the text to bring it out. It is there. It's there by implication, and it is there explicitly. Next week, we're going to be looking at verse 1. Now, just look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Now, Paul, at one time, was an enemy of Christ Jesus, wasn't he? At one time, he hated Christ Jesus, and he hated Christ's people. He persecuted Christ's people. He went into homes in Jerusalem and dragged Christians out and imprisoned them. And he heard about Christians in Damascus, and he went to the authorities and got letters so that he can go to Damascus and drag Christians in Damascus out of their homes and imprison them. Hated Christ. Do you remember when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus? Jesus' question was, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? Why me, Saul? Why are you persecuting me? So he hated Christ. But quite obviously, at some point, there was a reconciliation between Paul and the Lord Jesus. We'll look at that next week. I'm going to examine this theme of reconciliation between Saul of Tarsus and Jesus Christ. Because he doesn't here say an enemy of Christ or indifferent to Christ, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Continue looking at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy, our brother. Who was Timothy? Well, we know two things about Timothy. Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And Timothy was uncircumcised. Saul of Tarsus would have never had any relationships to such a man. None. His father is a Greek. His mother is a Jew. His mother has broken faith by marrying a Greek. We have nothing to do with people like that. That's what Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, this is how he would have thought. Your mother was a Jew. Your father was a Greek. Your mother broke the faith. She's an infidel by marrying a Greek. I'm having nothing to do with this man. And he's uncircumcised. Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, would have had nothing to do with Timothy, the uncircumcised, half Jew, half Greek. But look at what he says in verse 1. Timothy, our brother. Paul is reconciled to Timothy. Philemon is reconciled to Timothy. Philemon's probably never met Timothy. But Philemon, that's why he says our. So he's saying to Philemon, he's saying to Philemon, I and our brother, my brother and your brother, we are the ones writing this letter. Do you see reconciliation there already? Between Paul and the Lord Jesus, between Paul and Timothy, between Timothy and Philemon, between Paul and Philemon, of course, that's why he writes the letter. And there's a beautiful passage where you have Paul's relationship to Onesimus. Look at it from verse 10. Philemon verse 10. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. I think this is why this is such a beautiful letter. There are these family terms. Our brother Timothy, verse 1. Again in verse 1, our beloved fellow worker. You see how he's using this beautiful language to talk about other Christians. This is why I say the whole letter is about reconciliation. It's this beautiful language about various people. Our beloved fellow worker. Aphia, our sister, verse 2. Family language again. And then verse 10, astonishingly, I appeal to you for my son, for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. That's why I say that while he was a prisoner, he led Onesimus to the Lord, because he says, I became his father during my imprisonment. Now, we're going to look at that statement when we come to it, but think about this. Here is this Jewish, educated, intelligent, sophisticated apostle. Okay? Educated, intelligent, sophisticated apostle. And here is this runaway slave. Very likely not a Jew. Very likely a Gentile. And he says, he is my son, and I have become his father during my imprisonment. Isn't that absolutely beautiful? Do you know, there are times when Christians refuse to be reconciled to each other. You know this, and I know this. Okay, there are times when Christians fall out with, well, we all fall out with each other. I mean, these things happen. Paul fell out with Barnabas. Paul had a public row with Peter in Antioch. These things happen. The problem is, Christians sometimes then refuse to be reconciled. It is one of the worst things you can do as a Christian. Because reconciliation is such a beautiful thing. I think this is why Philemon is such a beautiful letter, because it shows us the beauty of reconciliation. He calls Timothy his brother. He calls Philemon his beloved. He calls Aphia his sister. He calls Onesimus his son. He calls himself Onesimus's father. All these family terms in one letter. It's the only letter in the New Testament where all these terms are found in one letter. Isn't that beautiful? Because it shows us the beauty of reconciliation. If you have had a fallout with Christians and there never has been reconciliation, I pray, you will find these studies in Philemon helpful and encouraging. And I pray, if there is such a situation, that you will go to that person, even if they did you wrong. I pray that you'll go to that person and say, friend, brother, sister, Christian fellowship is too precious for us not to have it, to be deprived of it, to fall out. Come on. Let's be reconciled. Let's pray together. And let's work together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So that is Philemon. The history behind it: runaway slave, becomes a Christian, and is being sent back to his master to be reconciled to him. And the theme is reconciliation.